Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 89. And today we're having a look at a fourth word that the New Testament uses to describe teaching and preaching. We've looked previously at caruso, and then we looked at parakaleo, and the last time we looked at these, it was patho. Today, didasco. The word today is didasco, sometimes translated teaching, sometimes translated direct, to admonish, to instruct. Specifically, it carries the idea of truth explained with application. And we'll come back to the significance of that shortly. It is a kind of teaching that provides meaning. It can mean to speak, particularly in a public assembly, in the context of a congregation or a group of people. So that's our word didasco, and the application point we're going to talk more about, because I think that's particularly important when we talk about teaching, which can be seen in a rather academic way, and there is that kind of meaning to it. But biblical teaching is more than academics. It's academics plus, you could say, with something added on. The word comes up 98 times in the New Testament in 91 different verses. So it's clearly a really important word to describe the way that the gospel is brought across to people, both those who to whom it is new and those who need further teaching in it once they've accepted it. So, didasco. Now, we're going to focus a little bit particularly on Mark's gospel, because Mark's gospel has more, shows us teaching, Jesus teaching more than any of the other gospels. In fact, they show him, Mark shows him teaching more than it shows him healing, for example. He is the teacher in the Gospel of Mark in particular. And that's interesting because the Gospel of Mark is known for its emphasis on Jesus as a man of action, which is true, but it also has an emphasis on him as a teacher. And it's really important and helpful to see that the idea of being a dynamic man of faithful action is not something that is separated from the idea of teaching well. Teaching well, teaching thoroughly, teaching effectively. Teaching and action go together when you're somebody who wants to bring the gospel across to people and make a difference in this world for God amongst people around you. So teaching and action, and we see that in Jesus. I'm going to talk a bit about that today. So let's talk in particular about this situation in Mark chapter 6. So let me get my Bible here and look at three things that I see here in Mark 6 that tell us a lot about what it means to be an effective teacher. So in Mark chapter 6, we see several things. Firstly, at the beginning of the chapter, it says Jesus left there, went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And then it says, when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. Okay, there he is, teaching, didascoing. And many who heard him were amazed. It had a big impact on them. Where did this man get these things? What's the wisdom given him? Remarkable miracles he's performing. Isn't he the carpenter, Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are his sisters here with us? And then, interestingly, they took offense at him. His teaching had an impact. People took offense at him, at perhaps what he said, and at him. Teaching that's effective causes a reaction. That's our first point of the three that we'll talk about today. Teaching that is effective causes a reaction. Now, I don't believe that Jesus taught what he taught to deliberately stir up a reaction for the sake of it. He wasn't trying to gain notoriety or anything like that. Instead, the effectiveness of his teaching, the truthfulness of what he said, or the integrity with which he said it, caused people to react to what he said. Now, some liked it, clearly. Others did not. They took offense at him here in the beginning of Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, rather, of the Gospel of Mark. So, a reaction. Are you afraid as a teacher, if you are somebody called by God to preach and teach, are you afraid of the reaction? Are you afraid if the reaction is negative, if you cause offense? I don't think we should ever try to cause offense, but on the other hand, we shouldn't be afraid of causing offense. And that would be true of those who don't yet know the gospel, as much of those as those perhaps who do. Are you afraid of the reaction? I know, personally speaking, I am. I like to be liked. I like people to approve of what I'm saying. I like it when people give me affirmation and declare that they liked what I spoke about. But I, as much as any other person, must not be afraid of the adverse reactions, at least if what I'm saying is true and reasonable and really from God. So firstly, we see that teaching that is effective is teaching that causes a reaction. Secondly, let's have a look in verse 6 here. Mark 6, verse 6. Jesus, this is the second half of verse 6, he went around teaching from village to village. The word didasco again there. Teaching from village to village, and then calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two, gave them authority over impure spirits, and he gives them instructions. They go out and preach, and they heal people. And then we get the interlude in Mark 6 of the situation with John the Baptist, who is then beheaded, sadly. We'll skip that whole section and come back to the ultimate reaction of the apostles being sent out to teach. It says the apostles, in verse 30, gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and didascoed, taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But the second thing we see about effective preaching and teaching is that it inspires others to teach. Now, Jesus does commission them to go out and teach and preach and heal, but they seem to be glad to do so and happy to do so. They go out and do so, and they are very effective. They've seen him teach. They've seen him teach effectively, and thus they go out with faith to teach. And there is a powerful, positive reaction, as many demons are cast out, many people are anointed, and they get healed. So effective teaching inspires others to teach. One of the goals should be of my teaching that I hope to inspire others to teach. Do you see that yourself? Do you view it that way yourself? That your teaching is not just to communicate the message that you have at that moment in time to give people, but also to inspire others to believe that they too can teach effectively. We're not meant to be a congregation. Our congregations are not meant to be places where only a few people teach. Perhaps some teach more effectively than others, perhaps some might be more skilled than others, and some might be better at speaking to a larger group than others, but all teachers can inspire others to teach. If you teach 1,000 people, you can inspire those who teach hundreds and tens. Those of us that teach hundreds can inspire the ones who teach tens, and perhaps those of us who teach tens can inspire those who teach one and two other people here and there. Part of effective teaching is inspiring others to teach. Have you thought about how to be inspirational in the way that you teach? Again, not for the point of saying, wow, how wonderful that person is and how inspiring they are, but more that you stir in the hearts of your listeners the desire to do the same thing. So that's the second thing we see about effective teaching. Firstly, teaching causes a reaction. Secondly, that it inspires others to teach. And then there's a third thing we see here in this passage. Let's pick up the story again. Jesus has just said, come with me to a quiet place, get some rest. They went away in a boat to a solitary place in verse 32. Many who saw them recognized them, ran on foot, got there ahead of them. Jesus landed, saw a large crowd, had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. So what did he do? He began teaching them. He began teaching them many things. He began didascoing them. Even though it was really, he needed some rest, his disciples needed some rest, they needed to go to a quiet place, but a quiet place was invaded by all the people with these needs, these sheep without a shepherd. And so what does he do? He doesn't send them away. He doesn't deny them the opportunity to be taught. He teaches them. So the third thing we see here is that those of us who have a calling to teach must also teach when it is inconvenient. Effective teaching means teaching when the opportunity arises, when it presents itself, not just on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon or a Friday evening or a Wednesday evening, but whenever we have the opportunity. The sheep, if they're without a shepherd, need a teacher. The congregations that are hurting need someone with compassion to teach them. And this is what we see in the heart of Jesus, and it's what we see him do. So we see three things here about the inspiring example of Jesus. That firstly, he caused reaction by his teaching. So must yours and mine. Secondly, he inspired others to teach, and they did so effectively. And thirdly, that he taught even when it was not convenient to do so. He saw the people, not just the page in front of him. Here are some things that we see that are a characteristic of Jesus and meant that his impact was so significant in the way that he taught. What do you learn from this? When you look at the example of Jesus in his teaching as he didaskos around, what do you learn from it? What inspires you the most? Please leave a comment. Let me know what inspires you the most. Let me know what you see in this, what you think are significant issues in terms of teaching. Leave a comment here, because then as I read your comments and other people read your comments, we can all learn from one another, and we learn best when we learn in community. So a couple of other things just to mention at the end here. I'll put all the references to Didasco from the New Testament into the show notes. You'll see them there. You can look up all those references if you wish. And I would very much appreciate it if you could do me one favor, which is to pass this on to one other person who you think might benefit from it. Send the link to one friend who might become a better teacher as a result. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Very much appreciate your input and your feedback. Until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.